You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 10th of April 2024. The Australian share market rose 0.3% today on the S&P ASX 200. We'll have the details with Josh Gilbert from eToro a bit later. But first, to the government's proposed merger reforms, the biggest in 50 years, giving the ACCC more power to approve those mergers and acquisitions over a certain value and market share. Here is Pradeep Philip from Deloitte Access Economics with more details.
Competition is really important for the vitality and dynamism of economies, because it can promote competition, it can make sure businesses cater to consumer needs really well, it can make sure prices are at their most efficient, and it also reduces complacency. Now, what we've seen is in the last 25 years, Australia's competitiveness has started to drop. And this is coinciding with greater concentration of the economy and also a slowdown in the birth of new businesses. So what these changes are trying to do, and they would represent the largest kind of competition policy changes in many, many decades, is to deal with this question of dynamism in the economy to drive productivity and growth. Now, mergers and acquisitions are a really important part of the economy. They generate a lot of economic value. And we have to balance that with ensuring that we are creating the right conditions for new businesses to be born in Australia. And if we get the competition structure right, then we will add a lot more dynamism, productivity, and growth to the economy. That's the basis of the changes that have been announced today. The devil will be in the detail. The key to this is making sure that the changes don't create a bureaucratic process that slows down mergers and acquisitions in the economy, because mergers and acquisitions are also a source of growth in the economy. What these changes will do is it'll mean that businesses will need to notify the ACCC about mergers and acquisitions. The threshold is likely to be lowered for that reporting to take place, but we have to wait to see where that threshold lands. But what is going to be really important is that the process that the ACCC undertakes then leads to a lean, simplified, and fast process. Otherwise, it will be a burden on business and on economic growth, and we'll miss the real aim of these reforms, which is to drive more competition, improve mergers and acquisitions, make sure there's great value for economic growth and productivity.
That is Pradeep Philip from Deloitte Access Economics.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.3% to 7,848. Here is Josh Gilbert from eToro with more.
Yeah, we're getting a big boost from some of those really big names on the index, which always really helps. So think BHP, think Rio Tinto, think CSL. Whenever we've got those sort of big stocks moving higher, we can always expect a good day from the ASX as well. And I think specifically on those names such as BHP and Rio Tinto, that follows a good day yesterday as well on this expectation that, you know, we're going to see a bit more demand for iron ore coming through, thanks to maybe a bit of a pickup in China. Look, I won't be getting overexcited about that, because we've heard that plenty of times over the last 12 months. But yeah, they're certainly helping lead gains today.
That's China. What about the US? We know that inflation numbers are coming out overnight. How critical will these numbers be to the market?
Yeah, insanely. Look, we see this as the most important number in markets right now. We've already seen rate cut expectations push back significantly since the start of the year. And Jerome Powell has expressed, you know, numerous of times, and he said it again last week, that the Fed are going to wait for clearer signs of lower inflation before cutting rates. And this reading actually comes as well after we've had two hotter than expected inflation prints to sort of start the year, which is really showing us that that final mile on fighting inflation is going to be tricky. We've also got rising energy prices at the moment. We've seen oil prices pick up, which is a bit of a worry on headline inflation. That's expected to pick up to about 3.4%, slightly higher than last month. The good news might come, though, in core inflation, which is expected to decline to 3.7% from 3.8%, thanks to declining services prices, an area where the Fed have sort of really focused. So I think if we can get a good number there, it may give the Fed some, you know, better understanding that maybe January and February's readings were maybe a bit of a hiccup, and that could put the June rate cut back on the table, which has been pushed back so far this year.
But in saying that, is there still a fear that interest rates around the world may stay high for longer? We just saw the Reserve Bank of New Zealand keep interest rates at 5.5% today.
Yeah, look, I don't think there's going to be a rush here from central banks to move to sort of cut rates, especially when, like I say, inflation is proving to be sticky. Look, no central bank wants to make a policy mistake, and no one wants to give away too much too early. If we cut too early and then they have to retighten down the line, you know, that's what no central bank wants to do. And I think we saw that from Michelle Bullock in her press conference in the latest rate decision. You know, she was very clear to not want to give that forward guidance, you know, a mistake her predecessor made. And the takeaway was they weren't ruling anything in or anything out. So I think that's a stance that we'll continue to see over the next few months. You know, especially in New Zealand, for example, we've got inflation that is still pretty high compared to sort of other regions of the world as well. So they certainly aren't going to be in a rush there. But, you know, we might start to see some easing from the likes of, you know, Europe or the UK, whose inflation numbers are coming down significantly. And we do have an ECB rate decision this week as well.
How much of this is being reflected in the gold price, which has been rallying and then and hitting record highs, and the oil price, which is also pretty high at the moment?
Yeah, so look, I think both of those commodities rising is, you know, the sign that we are seeing, you know, a bit of a worry from investors. We've had a great start to the year for equities. We've also got geopolitical tensions rising globally as well. And we've also got the biggest election year ever. So, you know, all of that adds up to investors wanting a bit of a safe haven. They want that bit of a hedge, especially given that, like I say, inflation is proving pretty difficult on that sort of final mile. You know, for gold specifically, as I say, it's that safe haven narrative that's sort of playing out. It's obviously got that long history of obviously protection during challenging periods. On the oil front, we're getting that supply squeeze. Oil inventories are dropping. We're heading into what is the peak summer season in the US. So oil consumption is sort of picking up. So I think both of those reflect, you know, what is maybe a bit of concern from investors, but I don't think really that's, you know, going to sort of move investors away from sort of buying equities. We think there's some real fundamental pillars from earnings growth to rate cuts that are going to keep supporting equities for the short term.
You spoke about hedging there and gold. What about hedging and Bitcoin?
Yeah, so look, I think Bitcoin is an asset that has continued to sort of have that narrative spoken about over the last couple of years, you know, as maybe an inflation hedge. It's by far the best performing asset class this year. We've maybe had a bit of profit taking from the asset class after sort of hitting a new high earlier this year as well. But we're also coming to a really important time for Bitcoin. We've got the crypto or the Bitcoin halving. This happens every 4 years. It reduces the amount of supply of Bitcoin coming online, and it also reduces miners' block halving as well. And anytime we've had a Bitcoin halving in existence, the year that Bitcoin halving has happened, we've always seen a move of 120% or more from Bitcoin. So although we can't put previous performance down to sort of what might happen next, we're also coming through a time of, as you say, you know, a lot of geopolitical tension, you know, maybe a bit of a move out of sort of fiat currency into, you know, an asset that isn't going to be controlled by, you know, one central organization. And we've also got a lot of demand coming from institutional names as well. We had the Bitcoin ETFs launch at the start of the year, and now we're seeing names like BlackRock buying this asset up by the bucket load, and we're seeing billions of dollars of inflows into these ETFs as well. So yeah, this is an asset class that I think has a lot of potential, and especially if we're seeing this institutional capital flow in, it looks like it could be another good year for Bitcoin.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Yeah, I think, look, we see opportunities in any pullback in the short term on markets. Look, there is going to be pullbacks across the S&P 500, across the ASX 200 in the months ahead. And I think that will give investors, you know, attractive entry points because we have the view that earnings growth is still continuing and rate cuts are on the way, even if they are being pushed back slightly, which may give those entry points for investors. So we expect cyclicals, think consumer discretionary, industrial materials to be those assets that are going to be positively benefiting from our view of those interest rate cuts because valuations are cheap and earnings are depressed. And we believe they're going to see the biggest pickup in earnings.
Josh Gilbert there from eToro.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.